Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday, yeah.
All right, doing a gig for charity.
Just doing a bloody gig for charity. And I'm doing one Wednesday.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Danny Ward.
Hello, everyone.
And it's not a guest episode, it's a tour talk. We are in Plymouth. I don't know why I'm still talking like that. We're in Plymouth. We did a show in Plymouth last night. We're sitting in your family home.
So we call this the yellow room.
The yellow room.
For obvious reasons, for those who can see the walls are yellow.
Yeah.
This house.
Even the radiator's yellow.
Yeah, that's the theme, that.
Never seen that before. Yeah. I've literally just noticed that.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence. This used to be a doctor's surgery, this place, this house.
Well,
and
I didn't know
that.
And
this was the waiting room, and next door was the surgery.
Was it now?
Yeah, yeah. So
next door is in?
The room next door.
Opposite?
Yeah.
Oh.
So people would have been sat in here.
Yeah.
Mr. Simmons, please. Ding, ding, ding. And then off you'd pop.
In the days where you could just rock up.
Yeah, exactly. Loads of appointments available.
You ever done any material about that? That sort of thing. It's quite a common thing, isn't it? Because it's something that irritates everyone, isn't it? That you can't get an appointment these days.
Well, yeah, I saw this. Well,
I vaguely remember someone I know had a bit, and I can't remember if it was you or not.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
I don't go to the doctors, Mark. But I was speaking to someone the other day, and they tried to get an appointment, and they were told they had to turn up at the surgery at 7:45, because if you tried to ring, you weren't going to get through. And they said we had 194 phone calls for appointments yesterday, and we got 20 appointments.
Oh, goodness.
So it's, you know...
It's not a funny bit.
Not very funny. No. Just keep eating your apples, champ. Keep eating your apples.
When I first started comedy, I tried to, with one-liners, the first sort of thing you ever do is you take just known phrases and then try and work a joke. I don't do that anymore, obviously. But an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
And I can't even think what I did. And they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What, something about doctors being scared of apples. That was the angle.
Right.
Of this. I'm talking, this is...
We're talking about that.
Oh, by the way, Danny, protocol, are we recording?
Yes. Yes, we are, yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. talking about first jokes, it's actually my second note on the podcast chat note.
You've got a podcast chat note?
Yeah, there's only a few pieces on it. The first is that I said I'd say hello to Adam and Laura, who were big fans of the podcast, and they saw us at Southend.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. And
thanks for coming.
Good show, that, wasn't it? Good clean show.
Lovely venue, that.
Yeah,
really Palace Theatre.
Yeah, beautiful. And the second says, Mark's first joke. I think we were talking about it on the road. Your first joke you ever wrote, and you told me what it was.
Did I?
Yeah. I obviously didn't go as far as making a note of what that joke was. I assumed you would remember it.
Well,
with that little prompt.
It's funny, that first set, there's obviously, when you write your first 5 minutes, there's loads of jokes in that.
But you said to me, do you want to know what my first joke was?
Yeah, and can you remember what it was?
I can't, Mark, no.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Hang on, we'll have to edit, because I need to think about this for a second.
Listen, I tell you what, I'll just clean this bit up a bit, and it will come to you. It will come to you.
Will it?
I hope so, because it's annoying when you can't think of things.
It is annoying, but that's all I'm going to be thinking about for the entire podcast.
Yeah,
now.
I know. It's bad, isn't it? I've got a few other things we could talk about, discuss.
Have you?
Yeah, I also wrote about, remember when I found out that what bangs were and I asked you, do you know what bangs were?
Yeah.
And you just knew, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fringe.
It's a fringe, yeah. I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
So it did make me wonder what other gaps are in your knowledge of which you have no idea about.
Yeah, I know because of Friends, I think. I think on Friends, they used to say about, there was an episode where she had bangs.
Yeah.
But, and then you made a joke about the Americans coming over to the Edinburgh Bang
Festival.
Yeah. Is that, you wrote that down? Yeah, is that the only reason you brought it up?
The Edinburgh Bang Festival. It's pretty good, that. It's quite niche, but.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny, those things that you can't, oh, what is that joke?
Do you know, you're going to have to.
I did one bit about Osama bin Laden because it was around the time that, the idea was just that he, we're looking for a guy with a beard, but if you're him, you just shave the beard off. And I referenced The Fugitive with Harrison Ford because that's what he did, wasn't it? He just shaved his beard off.
Osama bin Beardless. Osama Beard.
Osama Beard Laden. I don't think it was that. No, that wasn't the thing. That was just a random thought I had. Oh, so annoying.
Yes, I feel
like what we've learned from this is more thorough note taking, Danny.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought when you, because you just, it came, you were like, oh, do you know what my first joke was?
Yeah, and
I was
like, just come to
and
me.
I assumed you would have known then what that was.
No.
It's, that's annoying.
That is really annoying, isn't it?
What things have you got written down to talk about?
Because I've got some thorough notes here, mate.
Yeah, good.
We did a show in Plymouth last night.
We did.
Danny Ward's hometown.
Yes.
Did you have a nice time?
I did, yeah. It was on the cusp of one person. Because that's the thing, right? When you're doing tour support, it is different to being in a club or whatever, where your 20 minutes is your 20 minutes. And
we spoke about this last week, actually.
Yeah, to be frank, it doesn't really matter what you do with your 20 minutes in terms of the rest of the show, really, does it? Whereas you don't want to...
Just two separate things, yeah.
Whereas if you're doing tour support, you don't want to sort of make it feel awkward, do you?
No.
So, you know, you're not looking to sort of be gladiatorial anyway, are you?
No.
So I was doing a bit, wasn't I? And a bloke shouted out something that was quite funny and I sort of gave him the laugh.
Oh, yeah.
But then that didn't sort of stop him then from... Then he said something a bit...
He got confidence.
Rude, didn't he? He got a bit confident from that, yeah.
Oh, he did say something rude.
Yeah, he said... I said, oh, how old are you again? He goes, 25. Well, I feel like I'm getting older as I sit here.
Which I mean, technically he is. But like, so what that is... He doesn't mean that. What that is someone's put under pressure and in his head, he thinks he has to try to be funny. And people's natural reaction is like, what's the worst thing I could say to this guy? And that's what they come up with, that sort of thing. It's but he wouldn't have meant that at all. He would have been having a nice time. But it's this gut reaction that they have.
It was funny because his partner just went, sort of tapped him on the shoulder and whatever. That shut him down for the rest of the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gigs are always better when there's partners there, I think.
Here's the one. When we were on the Isle of Wight 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
and there was a bloke, and he was talking to his mate like a lot through in mind, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I did, I said, look, I would be remiss of me if I didn't say that you really mustn't speak while the mark's on, because it's going to,
Yeah, I mean, it's distracting everyone around
it. It was distracting me, really.
Yeah.
And I came off, and I was, unusually hot. Really, about that.
Hot ass Danny Ward.
Yeah, it was really irritating me. And then the promoter said, well, I'll have a word with him.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and says, was that him? And he points it out, we were up in the sound box.
Yeah.
And he goes, because he just fell over downstairs and knocked a tray of drinks over. So I said, oh, right, yeah, he's been drinking. But he was all apologies, he said. And he was on his hands and knees, cleaning it all up.
Yeah, yeah, and his girlfriend had told him off.
And he bought another round for the... And basically what it turned out is, so the promoter went over and spoke to him, what it turned out is that this fella, it was his birthday, and he had been down the football with his mates, having a good old juice up during the day,
yeah,
only to come home and be almost surprised.
Yeah, he didn't know he was coming to the show. It was a surprise for him.
I mean, that is your worst nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was absolutely smashed.
Smashed, and then being told you've got to go and be quiet in a room for 2 hours. No one. So
it shows you can't ever judge a book by its cover.
So then I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, but it's funny that, because when you're on stage, you get a gut instinct and you have emotion towards something that's happening. But you've got the key in experience of it with comedy is to not ever let anything bother you when you're up there. Because that example, you could have lost your temper,
yeah,
and had a go at him,
yeah,
and made a big thing of it,
yeah,
and then it all comes out. But
yeah, he can say, well, it's my birthday today. I didn't know it was coming. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, everyone's...
And like, occasionally you'll get a show where like the audience aren't quite reacting like you want them to, or how you think they should do for the stuff that you're doing. But then after the show, you'll get lovely feedback, and you'll get loads of feedback online, and people just, some people just don't laugh out loud that much.
Yeah,
and you just get a room for those.
It also speaks to the ego of the performer, Mark.
Yeah.
Whereas when he's talking, what I'm thinking is two things. Is that number one, yeah, he thinks I'm shit.
Yeah.
And therefore has decided to talk mm-hmm. because he don't give, he's rude.
Yeah.
Two quite negative thought things there. Whereas actually, really, he just couldn't help himself because he was just smashed.
Because like that situation I was talking about.
And not like when he said, right, we're going out to the comedy, I'm going to get smashed. Mm. He didn't know he was going to the comedy.
No. But you get like some audiences, like I say, when they're not reacting as like you'd like them to, your gut instinct is, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. The classic where people are like, well, that got a bigger laugh last time, or that normally gets a bigger laugh.
I deserve more.
But then you can ruin a gig that way, because what you're doing is you're drawing attention to the fact that it's not what it should be. Whereas those people in the audience, they don't know that it's not what it should be. To them, this is their experience and they're having a nice time.
Having a lovely time.
You're the only one that knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like when we used to do edit Wheelbarrow Town, and we'd have some really loads of not good stuff, and you'd always say, well, we'd have to cut it down.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, but I don't want us to lose that bit. That's a funny bit. And you're like, we're the only ones that know that bit was there.
Yeah.
Everyone else watching is watching a finished piece and they don't know that they've missed out on a bit. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But talking about couples, like I did a... It's sort of a corporate gig. It's not like a traditional corporate gig. It was on a military base. And when you're going to those, that the kind of the worry there is it all going to be all blokes? Mm. And that way, again, it's that thing where blokes altogether misbehave more than when they're with their partners and things like that. So they can be quite tough gigs. But I went along to it, and it was quite a fun experience. It was probably the most intimidating room I've ever walked into, because they were having like a meal, like an annual meal thing, and it all very proper. It was I found out only the day before it was black tie, so I borrowed my dad's tux, which fit me really well actually. And when they took me to this sort of backstage bit, but I could look through into the room, and it was such a big room. And there was just 30 people sitting around one table in the middle, and candles. It looked like a cult. In your head, you're like, how am I possibly going to play this? And they were lovely, because when it was organized, my agent, I would have thought that they said, we got you on the stage like you wanted. And I was like, oh, okay. But the stage was miles away from that table. So I was like, there's no way I can do it on the stage, because that's really, really odd. So I took the mic down and sort of went closer to them. And it was really nice. They're really nice people. But I've gone through sort of armed security. And it's funny, those shows. Have you done many of those sort of shows?
No.
Where
we have to go through armed security. one.
Oh, really? What was that?
House of Parliament.
Oh, I did that one as well. Yeah, that was quite. Again, actually, weird. When I was talking to the guy that sort of was organising it, He said about, have you sort of done anything like this before? And then there's the House of Parliament one I went back to, because that was 20 people around a table and you just walked into the room.
Yeah, oh God. At least it was a small room though, wasn't it?
That was a small room.
There was a window into the Thames you could jump out of, which I was quite tempted to. I'm not sure it went terrifically well for me, that gig, Mark, from what I remember. I
mean, really?
There was a lot against it
was,
going well.
It's one of those where you smile a lot.
Yeah.
But this was quite... fun, but it's one of those where you've got to roll with whatever's happening, because there were a lot of it's funny because there was a lot of in jokes happening, like they sort of shout at each other and they'd all laugh, but I'd be the only one in the room that doesn't understand why that's funny. And it's just about embracing that situation, I think.
Well, the longer they start, you know, having the laugh with each other, you just keep going, guys.
But I was also 100 yards, well, maybe 200 yards from a nuclear sub as well while it was happening. That's a weird...
That, Mark.
What's that?
You didn't tell me that. I could get my Geiger counter out.
Got your what?
Geiger counter.
I don't know what that means.
It's radiation. It's a measure. Measures if you've been radioactively...
I think it was all the right.
Disseminated? That's not what I mean.
But there's a... So when I was sort of...
You're close to them here in Plymouth, by the way, nuclear.
Oh, yeah. That's one of them said that they were in Plymouth this week. Mm.
So, can I tell you something about this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, they, because of those, we're close here to the nuclear dockyard in Plymouth. What they used, and I don't think there's as many, if not any, nuclear subs down there much. Mm. But when there were, right, they used to, and the siren that signals the end of the day is the old air raid siren, right?
Yes.
Like, right. So, but that also is the sign that there's a nuclear leak. So when I was, and I remember being upstairs revising for my GCSEs, this was probably about 1995, right? That you'd hear this go off, and it's they're doing a test of their sort of of their response to a nuclear leak, and you'd have all these soldiers running up the street, putting letters through your letterbox, and it basically says if this was a real life response, we'd be putting through iodine tablets now for you to start scoffing to, you know, counteract the nuclear radiation that you're now currently breathing in,
and you.
I didn't really think that was weird. But looking back now, you're like, good lord. Move.
Wow.
Well, though, here's the thing, though, champ. If there's a nuclear leak in Plymouth, moving to what, Birmingham? It's just a matter of time before the wind gets you and you know.
So I tell you what's interesting with...
I'd rather go quickly.
Sometimes when you've got a specific gig like that, knowing how to select your jokes is an interesting thing. So, like, I've got a joke that's linked to a nuclear rocket. Right, it's nothing. It's nothing to do with being on that base or anything. I just got a separate joke that, in my head, I was like, I don't know whether, I just don't know how that will go down, because they obviously take that very seriously as a thing. So do they think it's such a serious thing that you just don't laugh at it no matter what it is? But I did it. I did the joke, and it got a really good laugh. And there was another thing that the guy said, I just said to him, you know, it's a military thing. What is anything to avoid talking about? And he said, some comedians in the past have had a go at the Royals, and that's a bad idea.
Right.
But I've got one loosely based Royal joke, but it's not actually a negative joke. It's just around the topic. It's one about the tube stations do, where I say, so we had Queen Victoria, got the Victoria line. Queen Elizabeth line. Does that mean we're going to get a line of Charlie?
Yeah, that's not against the
rules. Not of course. It's literally nothing. But still, in your head, I could tell when I started saying it, I could see in their eyes
they didn't know where it was
that
going,
they were a little bit worried.
Right.
And that was after I even preempted it. I also said, do you know that it's quite funny? This isn't even a lie, but you know the thing we say about when you used to go to a town in the north that would be tough? I'd say that I went to university there just to get them on side. But I thought the way to get them on side is I told them that my granddad was in the military, which isn't a lie. That's true. Yeah. And then I wanted them to know that I was one of them in that sense of before I did that joke. So they weren't worried about where it was going.
Yeah.
Again, that joke worked fine. So that was a
learning. One of my best friends is in the military.
Yeah. But there's another thing I was going to say about with jokes is I was trying to think of jokes around the thing. And me going to that environment that I've never been in before, well, I could think of a joke, but they might have heard that joke a million times. Like the thing, like you said, when people go to Plymouth in the old days.
Oh, and the old electricity be black magic, we love her.
Yeah, so...
Just get out of your system.
So if I went to Plymouth and I was like, oh, I could do that joke. Mm. To me, that's new, but to everyone in there, it's old. So I actually refrained from doing the joke because I thought they'd probably heard it before.
What was it?
It was, so I went in there and I was going to say, God, it's nice in here, isn't it? That's weird. They said it was a mess because it was in the mess.
No, I think you've understood.
Would I have got away?
They must
have had that joke, a mess and a mess, like the wordplay, surely. Or do you think that would have worked? I like the joke.
Well, I mean, we're not going to find out now. Bring them up.
It reminds me. I used to do
it. I forgot to tell you something, guys.
Yeah.
It's a mess, isn't it? It's messy. No.
I used to do a new material gig in a rock pub in Canterbury.
Right.
And every time I did it, it'd always be a different audience. So I'd always go on there and go, oh, that's disappointing. And I'd just put my hand on the wall and go, oh, they told me it was a metal pub. And that would always really work well.
Would it?
Yeah, do you not get it?
Oh, I get it, yeah.
Yeah, that always works in that room.
I just refrained from laughing.
So that's sort of an interesting you never stop learning in this job because you get put in an environment. And then I've taken so much away from doing that show with sort of being able to judge what might go down well, what might not go down so well. Because none of my jokes are ever nasty or any or controversial anything really, I don't think. But really nice people. It's really fun.
Yeah, cool. And
really fun show.
Were they up for when you recommended me for next year? Were they up for it? Yeah,
big time.
Great stuff.
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah. Anyway,
in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh, so I'd say something that happened. I had a bloody nightmare getting there. So because I didn't want to take a suitcase with me. It was in Scotland. So I just had a rucksack and I thought I'd get everything in the rucksack. And then I had the shoe problem because it's a smart dress. So I had to have shoes. So I wore my shoes for the whole journey.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that in a million years.
No, but I did because I couldn't fit it in any other way. And then as I was walking, the heel bit on the bottom?
Yeah, I'm aware.
As I'm walking, I get hit in the back of the leg by something. And the heel thing had come off and flicked up and hit me in the back of the leg. So now I'm walking with, like, it's not waterproof, sorry, it's not leaking or anything. It's just that rubber, the grip bit has come off. So now it sounded like I was wearing clogs on one. So really embarrassing. On the way back, I'd gone... Okay, there's so much to this. So I got to Glasgow on the train on the way back, and I was in a rush because it was quite a tight turnaround. And I put it in my Google Maps, and I thought this is a lot longer than what it was when I got here. And it was Glasgow Central.
Uh-oh.
Can you know what's happened?
There's the two Glasgow stations.
Oh, there are, but no, I was going from one to the other.
Right.
And the one I was going to was Glasgow Central, and I eventually got near this place. I looked at my phone. Glasgow Central Travel Lodge. I'd walked to the Travel Lodge. No. So then I had probably 2 minutes spare. So I turned around, I started walking fast, forgot about my clogs. And then as I was going down this hill, the grip wasn't on one foot and it just slid like an ice skate. And I did a full split, but it kept going and going. I just went, whoa, like that.
They're used to it up in Glasgow.
What?
People falling over.
No drunk person has ever fallen over like this. I was gliding. It was
You're
a
lucky
full
you didn't
split.
Rip your scrotum.
It's like, well, I was lucky I didn't do myself proper damage. I scraped my knee, but my jeans weren't damaged. But like, I'm just lucky I do taekwondo because my flexibility wasn't too bad. But full split.
Yeah. Well, that's just a lesson against wearing your dress shoes out and about.
So, and then as I was walking, the other bottom fell off the other one.
Did it?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Cheap shoes, Mark?
Old shoes.
Did you bin them?
I didn't bin them. I had to walk
back.
You had
to walk home in them,
So I was walking along the tube in my clogs, like clip-clopping. Everyone looking at me weird. So that happened. What else happened? Oh, and in Plymouth last night, someone stole one of my props.
Yeah.
You spotted it, didn't you? We won't say what the prop is, so I don't want to give away what the thing is.
I didn't spot it. He told me he was taking it.
Did he?
Yeah, do you see the biceps on him, though? I said, you have what you want, mate.
Did you?
But he had five cups as well. He'd taken five with the plastic cups in the room. So
yes, but he wanted a photo, and he had the prop in his hand. I thought, oh, he just wants a photo with the prop.
Yeah,
and then he just walked off.
I went through a number of steps in my head when I saw he'd had the prop.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, you know, it is a replaceable prop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably just...
not worth the hassle.
Just probably not worth the hassle.
That's the same thing I thought.
Just buy another one.
Yeah. But if I don't remember, that's like that really affects the show the next day. I'll tell you another thing that's funny. Like, people are saying really lovely things online after a show, but they keep giving away one of the jokes.
Mm, they do, yeah.
Like, a lot. So I have to delete them. I feel awful deleting the nice comments.
Well, when I went to see the dress rehearsal of the Olympic opening ceremony in 2012.
Didn't know you did that?
Yeah. It was the dress rehearsal of it. So
is that open just to local residents then?
I wasn't actually living in Stratford at the time. No, I came from Clapham to watch it.
Mm.
I didn't really know what Stratford was at the time, mate.
Maybe it's because they wanted you to clap them.
Yeah, no, that's... I used to do that. I used to do a joke like that.
What was your joke?
It was, I've just moved into to Clapham. It's £500 a month or something. Like that, in those days, that sounded like a lot of money.
Yeah. Right?
£500 a month. You know, kitchen so small, you've got to use condensed milk. Shower, you've got to run around in to get wet. You know, £500 a month. Clapham. Clapham. I'll fucking boo them. Talk about first jokes. That was one of my very first jokes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. This hasn't come back to you, has it?
I'll boo him.
Clap him, I'll fucking boo him. That's one of those ones where I'll fucking boo him works better than I'll boo him.
The annoying thing is it was quite a specific individual joke, that one.
Anyway, where I've been... what was I talking about before that bit? Oh, yeah, the opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
So most of it happened, and it was excellent. James Bond and the Queen didn't jump out of the helicopter. But anyway, their big thing was hashtag save the secret.
Okay, yeah,
about
all
the things that were going to happen. So what you should do is when you delete it, then message them with hashtag save the secret, and then people might start getting, you know, working it out. But what I found interesting about being in Plymouth yesterday is obviously I am from Plymouth, and when we were down in Cornwall, and I said I was from Plymouth, everyone started booing, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because the Cornish don't like the Devonians, right? And then when we were in Tynmouth on Friday night, they were quite chippy with me, and I said something about being bellends. I said, I didn't mean that. I said, well, we're all from Devon, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone went, where are you from? And I said Plymouth.
Yeah.
And the 200 people from Tynmouth started booing.
So stupid.
And I said, no, Exeter, like, laughing. No, you know, trying to find somewhere. Right. So that's like, so that's inter-Devonian rivalry, isn't it? Yet if we were all against Cornwall, we would all unite as Devon against Cornwall, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
So yesterday when we were in, this woman said...
And in the war...
We would all come together against
them. And then when the aliens finally there'll be peace on Earth because everyone will unite and we'll fight the aliens together.
Mm. That sounds like a good idea for a film.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Independence Day.
That's a good title. We'll use that.
Yeah. Can't copyright a title. And then a woman... She made a comment, didn't she, about having, she had varifocal contact lenses.
Right.
Oh. Now, what I wanted, and I was like, oh, you're doing well. So the joke I should have said is, oh, you're from Totnes, because talking about inter-Devonian rivals. Totnes is like the posh, let's say.
And that would have got a really big laugh.
That might have got a good laugh. But I said, oh, where are you from? And I should have said, but I didn't. And she said, from Exeter. And I thought then we would all boo her from being from Exeter because we were in Plymouth.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if it's only against the person on the stage with the mic and the sort of the status, let's say, then if someone just in the room says they're from
I've had it where I've been in like gigs in Kent, and I used to MC a lot of gigs in Folkestone, and if someone was from Ashford, they'd get booed.
Yeah. Isn't it weird, this country, like that?
That is weird. Because also we're so close together.
Yeah, how small
it is. Like in America, each state
be.
Is like a country. Size-wise.
It's Tom Stage has got a joke like that, isn't it? He says, you know... Well, I think it's something like he says, you know, you back, talking about the Northeast, and I think he says, if you're from, you know, if you're from here, then you hate these people from here, 10 minutes down the road. But if you're 10 minutes down the road in the other direction, you hate the people from here, and they hate the people from there. And he goes, well, I'm from Canada, you have to travel 3 days for that.
Yeah.
Literally. Here, it's an hour's drive, and they speak completely differently.
Yeah.
And hate you.
That's so funny. I
and the whole scone thing as well, isn't it?
Scone which you put scone
your, no. Oh. If you fucking cream on or jam on.
Yeah, first. You know, yeah.
I've seen there's flags in Devon that say cream first or jam first. I can never remember.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it?
Tastes the same once you
I
put it in.
I did a gig the other day and I asked someone what their hobby was and they said stand up comedy. I was like, who did you ask? And they said Tom Stade. And I did the thing with Tom Stade in Australia.
You did.
And I just thought it was quite funny. I said, did he do the anal beads bit? And they went, yeah. Then I said, That was it. I said, did he do the anal beads bit? They went, yeah, but yeah, I thought he pulled that one out.
Hey,
that was it.
There it is.
Bit of fun, isn't it? So this is going out on Tuesday, Danny. So which means we have 3 shows left on this leg of the tour, but they're all sold out. So thank you everyone for buying tickets. But 2024, we've got lots of shows on sale now. We're going back to a lot of places where we sold out quite quickly. So going back to the Lowry in Manchester, Salford. They don't like it when you say that.
Got talking of rivalries.
Yeah, but you kind of need to say Manchester because some people might not know where Salford is. And do you think? I don't know. Anyway, Leeds.
I imagine anyone who's going to go to a gig in Salford will know where it is.
Yeah, okay. Leeds, Bristol.
Bristol.
Yeah, Norwich. We're going back to Norwich. March. We're going back to lots of places, but also going to lots of new places. And if we're not coming to where you live and you want us to, let us know. But all tickets are available at marksimmons.co.uk and on my social media at Jokes with Mark. You can also find Danny on social media at Danny Ward Comedy. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Remember, nothing.
Here we go. We'll get there. I think it's fun to keep these bits in anyway.
And remember, Danny.
Some other sausages
and
made.
And remember, everyone. Hang on. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny.
Good Lord.
And remember, everyone.
Be more Gareth.
Hashtag Awooga.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.